From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Chad Beter.
Welcome to Defrag Tools. So today we're going to talk about driver verifier.
Driver verifier, yeah.
So we talked a little bit about this on our show last week when we were talking about bug checks.
Right.
And it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, driver verifier. But what is driver verifier?
So one of the things about drivers on Windows is generally they run in kernel mode.
Yeah.
And kernel mode is a shared memory space. So every driver and the kernel itself, the Windows OS kernel itself, all share the same memory space. What this means is that if anybody down there has a bug and does something bad, it takes down the whole system. Everybody down there, if a driver, for example, goes and corrupts some piece of memory, there's no guarantee that that piece of memory is owned by that driver. It could be owned by some other driver. It could be owned by the operating system itself. So you can run into a lot of problems there if you have buggy drivers.
Yeah.
And the consequences are pretty severe because, as we've seen before, we pretty much crash the system if we run into some kind of corruption in kernel mode.
Yeah.
So driver verifier was invented as a way to test those drivers, you know, put sort of protection around them, extra checking on things that they do. And it was kind of intended for people who are developing drivers, as well as for system administrators who have drivers that may be misbehaving. It can certainly help you track down who of those are giving you problems.
Yeah.
So we'll show some examples of that.
Okay.
All right. So one of the things that we showed last week was the sysinternals tool called Not My Fault, which includes a buggy driver, an intentionally buggy driver that you can use to crash your system in various ways. And I just launched it twice there. But one of the things that Not My Fault will do that we'll kind of play with here is a buffer overflow. And you know, you may have heard of buffer overflows in the context of, like, security,
yeah.
Things like that.
Seems to be a popular way of circumventing some security.
Yeah, so sometimes people intentionally will cause buffer overflows as a way to sort of attack your system. But the vast majority of buffer overflows are just flat-out bugs where somebody goes and accidentally corrupts some memory.
Yeah.
And so, again, if you see that happening in an application, it's not as big a deal because the worst that happens is that application can corrupt its own memory and it crashes itself. But mm-hmm. in kernel mode, everybody's shared and you can take down the whole system. Now, I don't really want to click on crash here right now. What would happen, and I would recommend if people are out there want to play with this, go grab Not My Fault. And try this on a system that you don't care about, because but what will happen is if you click on crash here, it probably won't crash right away. What
yeah.
this will do is Not My Fault's kernel mode driver will go out, allocate some shared pool memory, what we call pool memory, which is the memory that drivers typically use to store whatever they want to store in this shared space. So it'll allocate some pool memory, and then it will write way past the end of what it owns, and most likely corrupt somebody else's pool memory. So
yeah.
you won't see a crash right away.
So
usually.
I should do this while I'm working on an important Word document or something.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah,
I would not recommend that.
And what's the difference between bug check and hang?
So yeah, Not My Fault actually does offer some ability to create some different hangs here. And, you know, a hang is where obviously the system is hung, non-responsive. It may not be that the system is completely hung. There may be some piece of the OS still working down there, but it may not be responding to user input, for example.
Yeah, your mouse might not be moving around.
Might not move, or even if it does move, maybe you click on things, nothing's really happening,
yeah.
things are really just sort of stuck. You know, there's various levels and different types of hangs that can happen. We'll talk a little bit later, actually, about how you can troubleshoot hangs
okay.
through some of these same techniques with memory dump analysis. So on the crash thing, though, that is going to be, like we've seen before, a bug check, a blue screen. So again, I'm not going to click crash here. If I did, what I'll tell you, try it yourself, it's probably not going to crash the first time. If you click crash a few times here and then you go and open a web browser or start using your machine, what will happen is we've corrupted some memory here, but you won't find out about it until later when somebody else goes to try to use that memory that they own and find out that Not My Fault has scribbled all over it.
Yeah.
And then you get the blue screen. So those are very difficult. They're not uncommon, those types of problems, but they're very difficult to troubleshoot because by the time you actually crash, you don't know who corrupted that memory. It happened, you know, maybe seconds, maybe minutes, maybe hours ago. And so here's an example that I saved last night where I clicked on crash and then I went and started browsing the web and, you know, 3 minutes later my machine blue screens.
Yeah.
So I saved a memory dump. Let's open that up. Let's see here. I think I've got it here. So like we saw last week, you can go in, open that memory dump with Windows Debugger, WindBag, as we lovingly call it. And the first thing that'll happen is it'll tell you to run bang analyze dash V to get detailed debugging information. And it will actually tell you what it thinks may have caused this problem, netio.sys. So let's do the bang analyze V. That's always step one when you're looking at a memory dump. So here you can kind of see, first of all, a description. So driver, Urkel, not less or equal. This is actually similar to the same stop code we saw last week, where a driver has tried to access invalid or paged out memory. In this case, I can tell you that this is not just paged out memory, this is probably an invalid memory address. And the reason I know that is because the memory address that it tried to reference was 10. Memory address number 10.
Yeah.
Which is probably not a valid memory location that this driver should be accessing.
Yeah.
It did that at Urkel 2. Well, in this case, it doesn't really matter what Urkel it was at. When you access memory address 10, you're probably not going to succeed. If we click on this dot trap here, which is typically the second thing that you should do if you're given the option, you will see the assembly code that we were executing when we hit that invalid memory. And you can see what happened here. If you go and brush up on your assembly knowledge, and I know you probably just keep those
all
Intel
over last night, yeah.
Yeah, those Intel reference manuals, the Intel architecture, IA32, IA64 manuals.
64 is my favorite.
Especially the Itanium ones.
Yeah.
Those are my favorites. I read those every night when I really need to go to sleep.
So what is dot trap for someone who might not know?
So dot trap, when the system is running along and it hits an exception, such as this one, like an invalid memory access, we put down a trap frame on the stack itself. And what that is it saves the registers, the CPU registers at the time that the trap happened.
Yeah.
Now, because this is 64, and we touched on this a little bit last week, but because this is a 64-bit dump, not all of these can be trusted, and that's why you get this blue highlighted text. Some register values may be zeroed or incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
And there's is a site, I think I may have even saved it, maybe I didn't. But if you look up X64 non-volatile registers here on Microsoft.com, you'll see in the 64-bit calling convention, some of these registers are listed as volatile and some are as non-volatile. And the thing that you basically, the rule of thumb here is that these volatile registers, when you do a dot trap, you can trust those registers but not the others.
Okay.
So in this case, what happened here is we were trying to dereference a pointer. So RCX plus 10 was the memory address that we wanted to get to. RCX, as you can see, is 0. Mm-hmm. Add 10 to that, that's 10. That's why we were trying to access memory location 10.
Yeah.
And that failed. So this is actually not an easy debug. I cheated a little bit and looked at this before, just so I wouldn't be totally making a fool of myself up here. But if we can kind of, what you would typically want to do at this point is go, okay, so RCX register has a value of 0. Where did that come from? We can use the unassemble backward instruction. And the address we would want to unassemble backwards from is the instruction pointer, or RIP. This will show the last few instructions leading up to the crash. So you can see here that we had populated RCX with a pointer from RSI. Well, RSI is one of those ones we can't really trust, but where did RSI come from? Well, it came from RCX, which we just now overwrote. So this is actually kind of tricky. You can't easily tell here what happened. But another interesting thing that I noticed about this is if we do a K command, the K is to list our call stack, and the V command is the verbose version. And you'll see some of these locations, these args to child here, are various stack locations. And on x64, they aren't always super meaningful. You don't always know what they're referring to, but you will see something odd here, that one of the memory locations on the stack contains a value of 4F, 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 etc. That looks kind of sketchy. That must have come from some kind of corrupted memory or something like
yeah.
that. The takeaway here is this looks like netio.sys, which is evidently some kind of network I.O. driver. I honestly don't know exactly what netio.sys does, but it's some driver having to do with network I.O., apparently. It looks to me like, just taking a glance at this, that netio did something bad. But if you kind of look at what it was doing, it was freeing some memory, freeing some cache memory. It may have been accessing some of that shared pool memory. So there could have been some corruption there that contributed to this. I ran this, the thing about this kind of corruption is the signature of pool corruption is that the crashes will tend to be pretty random. So I did a second time, I went back in, did the same thing again, loaded up, not my fault, clicked on that buffer overrun. The second crash I got looks much different. And here it is again. Look at that. There's that 4F, 4F, mm-hmm. 4F. So this one, let's do the bang analyze dash V. And this one's a little bit more obvious, actually. Bang analyze in this case tells us the pool is corrupt at the time of the current request. And it tells us this may or may not be due to the caller. So you see in this case, we were actually in the kernel itself. NT kernel was trying to free some pool. It was doing a create file. We can't quite see into the user space below this to see what process was happening. It looks like it was CCM exec.exe was doing something, but we don't really have an idea what it was doing because this is a kernel-only dump. We talked a little bit last week about the difference between kernel summary dumps and complete dumps.
Yeah.
So we can't see the user process because this is a kernel dump. But what we can see is that we bug checked when we were trying to free some pool. There's not a trap frame here. There's no dot trap for me to click on. But there's enough here, even just looking at what this bug check tells us, to know that the pool memory is corrupted. And what happened here is that the memory manager itself was trying to free some pool and was doing some sanity checks. Mm-hmm. And it was on this particular entry here, and there were some pointers in there which were supposed to be the same as value 2, which were supposed to contain this value, but instead they contained 4F, 4F, 4F. And if we go and look at that guy, the pool entry being checked, let's dump that D is to dump. Let's dump it as pointer-sized values, so that would be a P. Again, to get help on any of these commands, you can go to the debugger help and see what all the options are for D or for K mm-hmm. or for any of these. And you can see here there's a bunch of pointers. This isn't obvious, but if you look at that pointer, so this is sort of a pointer to a pointer, you'll see some 4F, 4F, 4F stuff in there. And let's dump that as characters, DC. And you will see 4F, 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 and then the text overflow. This is actually where Driver Verifier had gone and scribbled these 4Fs all over this shared piece of memory and put the text overflow. Again, this is not a very obvious, like, you know, this is... It's you can see that some memory got corrupted. We have really no way of knowing who corrupted that memory. It mm-hmm. happened at some point in the past. We know somebody scribbled 4Fs and overflow over this memory that's owned by the kernel. And who did it? I don't know. And that's the thing about these kind of buffer overruns, again, is that they may not crash your box immediately. They may crash it later. So this is where Driver Verifier can really help you out. So if you have a situation where I would say you're getting bug checks and they tend to be very random. The bug check parameters are different all the time. It's not always the same. If you kind of go back through your system event log, you'll see every time we bug check, we will write what the parameters were if they're varying a lot. That's a pretty good indicator that you might have a memory corruption problem. And what you can do in that case is come in here to Driver Verifier, which you just start with verifier.exe. Driver Verifier is, you have a few different options here. I would say, for starters, a good place to start is create standard settings. And this will turn on a set of various checks against a driver that will do things like look for buffer overflows, look for various common problems that drivers often have, common bugs. You hit next here, and then you'll get an option of what drivers do you want to enable verification on. You could just do, if you really want to go all out on this, select all drivers installed on this computer. The only thing about that is that this may be a little bit high impact. Yeah. If you have a server and you're worried about it slowing down performance, obviously the more checking we do every time a driver does something, the more overhead you introduce to a system.
And so, if you know where to start from, you're probably better off.
You're better off if you have some ideas, you know, being a little more targeted.
Yeah.
That's why another option that's very good if you have unsigned drivers on the system is this one here, automatically select unsigned drivers. And the reason for that is that theoretically any driver that's been signed by Microsoft that has a Windows logo verification has been through some amount of this kind of testing already.
Yeah.
So selecting unsigned drivers is actually a good place to start. I would say if you're in doubt, you have a system, you think maybe you've got some pool corruption, some drivers that are corrupting pool, start with standard settings for unsigned drivers. It's as good a place to start as any. In this case, I think what I'm going to find on this is that I probably don't have any unsigned drivers on my system. Yeah, I don't, because this is a pretty clean install. I haven't really gone out and downloaded a lot of crazy drivers. In this case, what you can do is select drivers from a list. And actually, I'm not going to find Not My Fault in here because it's not loaded right now. Not My Fault only loads its driver on demand, which is a little bit unusual. You can force it in by saying add currently not loaded drivers to the list. What I've actually done on this case, because one point about Driver Verifier is that enabling these requires a reboot to take effect. So I went ahead and did this before just to save time. Through the magic of television, I already have, if you go display information about currently verified drivers, you can see that I've previously set not my fault, myfault.sys as a verified driver. And I set it with standard settings, and these are kind of the standard settings here. So special pool, pool tracking, things like that are the types of checks that we do to catch buffer overruns. And what's going to happen now, because I've got driver verifier enabled, it's going to act a little different. I was saying before, typically if you come in here to not my fault and you say buffer overflow and you hit crash, it won't crash right away. Mm-hmm. Well, in this case, because I've enabled driver verifier, we will, because we check every allocation that anybody does in pool memory to make sure that they're not overriding past their allocation. And so if I click crash here, it is immediately going to, oh, there it goes. Blue screen of death.
Yeah, myfault.sys right there.
Yes, and that is the beauty of driver verifier is that, and we'll go ahead and crack open that dump file once this comes back up, but it will be very obvious what the problem was.
Yeah.
As opposed to the earlier dumps where it was not obvious at all who corrupted that memory.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back in here. Takes me just a second. So the way this is actually implemented is sort of clever. With the special pool checking, what happens is any pool allocation that we make out of what we call, we move it to a different type of pool. Pool, again, is this shared memory that drivers use. We have this special pool, and when somebody makes an allocation, we give them a block of memory, and then right after that block of memory is another block of memory that is marked as non-writable. And the minute anybody touches that memory, we immediately throw an exception and we go, somebody did something bad.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and log back in here. All right. So my system kind of collects its dump. Windows has recovered from an unexpected shutdown. Yes, it has. So I'm going to go into Windows, memory.dmp. Oh, access is denied. Because I'm not running Windows Debugger as an administrator, and by default, the Windows directory is kind of locked down. So what I need to do is actually go run WinBag as administrator. And let's go open a crash dump. Windows memory dump, yes. So this is the crash that just happened. And this time, if we do the bang analyze dash V, it's going to be very clear just through the bang analyze output. Driver page fault beyond end of allocation. N bytes of memory was allocated and more than N bytes are being referenced. So this is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is the memory that was referenced. This value is 1, which means it was a write operation. This is the address which referenced the memory. It came out of a special pool allocation. And the module that did it was my fault. If we go look at the trap frame here, we'll see here's the instruction that it did. More importantly, if we do a KV to look at the stack, we'll see that my fault device control was who was touching the memory when we hit this invalid special pool write. So what will happen typically is if you have one of these buggy drivers that does things like corrupt pool, you go and turn on driver verifier and you just let your system run again. And hopefully it will crash again probably much sooner than before, because we will catch that driver in the act of corrupting memory rather than way later when some memory's already been corrupted and some innocent victim goes to access something that they'd saved earlier and gets hosed.
Yeah.
So Verifier is a great tool to use when you have a system that's kind of unstable, and you look at the memory dumps, or maybe they're kind of random. It's hard to tell what's going on. So good thing to have in your toolbox, especially in sort of a server environment. We see this a lot. One earlier thing that you had mentioned was hangs.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that can happen is if you get into a system that's not necessarily bug-checked, but there are other kinds of driver bugs that can cause the system to hang. And a good way to look at that and see what is actually hung is, again, a memory dump. Well, how do you get a memory dump on a system that's not actually crashed, it's just sitting there hung?
Yeah.
Well, there's a few ways to do that, depending on your situation. And I saved some shortcuts. My system's still a little bit slow, still kind of recovering from that. Okay, forcing a system crash. This KB article here, or actually this is a bit from the debugger help. So there's a registry key you can enable here. One of two registry keys, depending on whether you have a PS2 keyboard or a USB keyboard. So with a PS2 keyboard, you would go into this HKey local machine system current control set surfaces IA8042 port parameters. You create this value named crash on control scroll, and you set it to 1. USB keyboard, you have to set it here in KBDHID. If you don't know what kind of keyboard you have, like say in this case it's a laptop, I don't know internally whether that keyboard is hooked up through USB or what. Look in Device Manager at your keyboard. In fact, let's quickly look at mine. Device Manager, keyboards, PS2. So in this case, I would need to set that in the IA8042 port. Mm-hmm. This is a PS2 keyboard. Unfortunately, it's probably not easy for me to show this because this laptop keyboard does not have a scroll lock key. What happens when you set these parameters is you would hold down the control key and press scroll lock twice, and your system will then blue screen, bug check, with a special stop code, which is basically equivalent to user-generated bug check.
Yeah.
So that's what you would do if you want to go see what was going on in memory, what the drivers were doing in a hang situation.
But you could just plug a USB keyboard up.
I could.
Change the one for the HID.
Exactly, yeah. So that would be my recommendation if you're on a laptop. If you don't have the scroll lock key, just plug in a keyboard that does have one.
Yeah.
Definitely. One other way that you can do this, and this is really more applicable to certain high-end server hardware, is through an NMI switch. This is not something that is going to be on really any kind of client type system I've seen. But some servers will actually have a button on them or a switch labeled NMI, which is non-maskable interrupt. And the purpose of that is to allow you to intentionally crash a system in a case like this. Now, in order to do that, you do have to go in and set a different registry key, because typically what will happen in Windows 7 and earlier, if you hit an NMI switch on one of these servers, is the system will just halt.
Yeah.
You'll get a blue screen, but it won't actually be a crash dump blue screen with the stop parameters like we're used to seeing. It'll just say something like NMI system halted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really very useful unless you just want to take down your server for some reason. I mean, the power button would be easier.
But, yeah.
If you go in here, there is a key, this KB article here will tell you how to use a registry key here to enable NMI crash dump. And if you set that registry key, again, takes a reboot. All these, by the way, take a reboot to take effect.
Yeah.
Set that, reboot it. Next time you go and hit that NMI button on your server, you will actually get a bug check, similar to what we've been talking about with the crash on control scroll.
So there's times when I have an application that looks like it's hung,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it'll even go to kind of a light white screen.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm very impatient, I start clicking around, clicking the exit and stuff like that, and it just crashes the application.
Right.
Does that give you anything that you can use there? And what exactly is happening when that happens?
Yeah, so you might be able to see a little bit about what's going on through a full crash dump if you had set your machine up for a complete memory dump.
Yeah.
Because the type of hang you're talking about there, where it's not the whole OS that's hung, but just a particular app.
Yeah.
That is more of a user mode hang. So you would need to have the complete memory space in the dump to really be able to see up into the user processes to see what was happening there. If you did, you could conceivably do a complete memory dump like this and maybe see what's going on. That's a pretty heavy way to do that because you're crashing your whole system and having to reboot all just because one app hung.
Yeah.
So the situation you're talking about there, where it's just an application that's hung, you might be better off getting a user dump of that. And that's where I would suggest you could go in through Task Manager or Process Explorer, right-click on that or and save a user dump of that, of only that hung process.
Yeah.
Or proc dump, Andrew's tool,
mm-hmm.
Can also do that. So these things that we're talking about here are a little bit more useful for when the entire OS is just kind of hosed, unresponsive. You move the mouse, nothing happens, that kind of a thing. So that's where you get it more into the kernel debugging aspect of things and looking at the kernel space. So let's see. I think that pretty much covers what we wanted to go over today. And again, driver verifier, very useful. You know, one other thing is there are a lot of other options here in there are a lot of other options here in driver verifier. We did talk about the standard settings. If you're a developer who's writing a driver, there's a lot of other stuff in here, custom settings here. And they kind of even call out here, it's for code developers. And you can really get specific about what you want driver verifier to check. And if you want to know what exactly all these are, they are documented. There's a page right here that will go through every single thing that you can turn on in driver verifier and detail exactly what it does for you. So if you are a driver developer or you're just one of these people who's really curious, wants to learn about the inner workings of Windows and drivers, that's some good
or if you just want to point a finger at your problems and show some responsibility to who caused it.
Absolutely. So that all is documented there as well. So again, verifier, good way to go if you are just kind of got some kind of an unstable system and you suspect you might have some buggy drivers. It'll find a lot of very common bugs that we've seen with drivers over the years.
Very nice. Do we know what's on tap for next week?
You know, I'm not sure. Andrew's over there.
Some
more debugging. We'll figure it out.
Okay. So that's the show for this week. If you have questions, you can leave comments in the show notes, and we'll get to you there. Or you can write us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And we'll see you next week.